So we just read two chapters of the Gospel of John, chapter 18 and chapter 19. It's this passage, it's full of a lot of mystery. It's truth, the truth of God. But there's also, it's full of a lot of irony. So Jesus, the King, now he is being crucified as a criminal. The one who is the King of heaven, now he is despised as the worst person being crucified in the middle of two criminals. And Pilate was trying to help Jesus, but at the same time, he is being sarcastic with the Jewish. So he brings Jesus and he presents to them, "Behold the man." He dresses Jesus in purple, showing them that he is a king, and he told them, "Behold, the King of the Jews, here is your king." And when the Jews ask him, "Crucify him," and Pilate, I think sarcastically, he told them, "Do you want me to crucify your king? He is your king, and you want me to crucify it for you?" Pilate has no idea. It seems like he has no idea who Jesus is. That he is the Son of God, that everything came into existence because of Jesus Christ. He had him in front of him. He didn't have any idea of that. It seems like he doesn't have any idea of that. He's just mocking the Jews. Here is your king, poor guy. Nobody is helping him. I could help him if I want to. I would help him if he let me help him. He told that to Jesus, if you don't speak to me, you didn't know that I can help you, I can save you, or I can crucify you. So it seems like Pilate didn't know who Jesus is. So he's playing with that. He is being sarcastic about that. In the Gospel of John, we hear that he was dressed up in purple, and they crucified him with this. So here is the king being crucified. Here is the king being mocked and insulted. That is such a great irony. But this is the irony of the gospel. This is the irony of the message of Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, if you wish to save your life, you lose it. But if you wish to lose your life for my sake, you will save it. That is the greatest irony of life. And it's so hard to understand. Well, we cannot. There is someone trying to open the door. Can someone open the door for him, please? So that's a great irony of life. If you want to save your life, you lose it. But if you lose it for Christ, you gain it. It's hard to understand, but to practice it, it's still more complicated. I think I can understand that. Like, read it so many times in the gospel. I know what Jesus means. But in the practice, that's so hard. Francis of Assisi, it's so easy to see that he understood this. He read it, he said, "I'm going to do that." And he did it. It's so amazing to read his life and then how he gave up everything for the sake of the kingdom of God. Mother Teresa, the same thing. These are these great saints that it's so easy to see. The other saints, they did the same thing. But it's harder to see. But this Mother Teresa and Francis of Assisi, they did it so well that anyone, even non-Christian, can see it. Even non-believers can see it. How a person denies himself and become a great person in history. That's what Jesus did for us. And Jesus did this. He denied himself in the sense that he was humble, in the sense that he was innocent, and he let the people condemn him. But Jesus never denied that he is the Son of God. He never denied that. So when the soldiers came to arrest him, I read some footnotes. It says that can be like 200 soldiers or 600 soldiers who came to arrest him. Can you imagine 600 police officers coming to your door, arrest you? There is no escape from that. So that's why Jesus told them, Jesus asked them, so who are you looking for? Same question Jesus asked in the Gospel of John chapter 2 when John the Baptist saw Jesus passing by, and John the Baptist told his disciples, behold the Lamb of God. So two of his disciples, Andrew and Simon, followed Jesus, and Jesus turned around and said, who are you looking for? And they said, Rabbi or Master, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. Similar question Jesus asked us. When the soldiers came to arrest him, Jesus says, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus the Nazarene. He said, I am. That's such a beautiful sentence, I am. He is not saying that I am that guy from Nazareth. He is saying that I am, he's saying, I am the Son of God. That's what he is saying. Because only God, in the Jewish religion, only God can say, I am. Because only God has his own being by himself. Soldiers, when Jesus said this, so it's God speaking to them, they stepped back and fell. Jesus asked them again, who are you looking for? He said, Jesus the Nazarene. He said, I told you, I am. You see the answer of Jesus Christ when they ask him who he is, who they are looking for? He says, I am. He says it twice. And in contrast to the answer that Peter says when Peter was following Jesus, and they asked him, you are his disciples, right? He said, I am not. They asked him again, you are his disciples because you were with him. And he says, I am not. That's a great irony that Peter is denying Jesus, but Jesus never denied himself who he is. They asked Jesus that they are looking for him. They told him that they are looking for him, and he says, I am. And Peter said, I am not. Peter saved his life in this moment. So if he would have said, I am, they would have crucified him with Jesus. So this came to fulfillment when Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you lose it. But if you want to lose it for my sake, you will gain it. And at this moment, Peter saved his life. And then he regretted it. One message that I think that we can take, there's a lot of message that we can take from this, and there's a lot of things happening today with our fasting, with our prayer at home, with this scripture, with the adoration of the cross, with the stations of the cross. There is a lot to ponder on today. But one thing that I want to share with you is that when Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, do you say that on your own, or someone else told you about me? So if you want to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, you have to do that on your own. Not because your parents told you. Not because your spouse told you. So you have to do that on your own. Do you say that Jesus is King? Do you say that on your own? Or just because you heard that someone said it? What does that mean for you? And Jesus is not afraid to say this to Pilate, to whoever asked him. Question for us, who are you? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a child of God? I hope we say, I am. The blind man in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, so he was given his sight. He was blind since he was born. And people saw him begging. And now he sees how he walks. Some people thought, this is the blind man who used to beg. Some people said, no, he's not, he just looked like him. So they came and asked him, are you that blind man? Do you know what he said? He said, I am. He is the only one in the gospel who says that, I am. And he knew that by saying that, he will get himself into trouble. So the Jews came and questioned him and they threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus came back to him and said, Jesus told that blind man, now he can see. Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, who he is, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said, it's me, and I'm talking to you now. So he worshiped Jesus. I hope that when they ask us, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a child of God? Are you a helper with Jesus Christ? I hope we say, I am. That may get us into trouble. But that's the irony. If we lose our life, we will gain it. That's the irony of Good Friday. We call it good when we fast, when we do penance, and we call it good because it's good. And we will celebrate tomorrow evening the completion of this goodness. And that's why we adore the Holy Cross, because it's good. It's the irony of the gospel. But it's the irony that brings us to eternal life. It's the irony that brings forgiveness to us.